Support comes from Pacific Science Center, celebrating spring at PacSci with butterflies at the Tropical Butterfly House, sea creatures in the saltwater tide pool, and Jane Goodall, Reasons for Hope at the IMAX Theater, a journey around the globe to share good news stories. Learn more at PacSci.org.
Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Monday. This is Seattle Now. Grizzly bears are coming back to Washington State with some help from federal wildlife agencies. Local ecologists have been pushing for grizzlies' reintroduction for decades.
It's bigger than ourselves. It's bigger than any one of us. And it's a huge opportunity to get this right in a way that the world can admire as a conservation success story.
But not everyone agrees, especially in communities that border the North Cascades National Park, where the bears will be released. We'll dig into the reintroduction and the tension it's introduced in a minute. But first, here's what's coming up this week. Mayor Bruce Harrell plans to be at Garfield High School tomorrow night for a community forum on safety in Seattle. He'll be joined by representatives from SPD, Seattle Fire, and the city's Department of Transportation. Attendees will rotate in small groups in an effort to engage directly with city leaders. Start time is 6 p.m. How you doing? No, really, how are you doing? May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Maybe consider this an opportunity to check in with yourself and the people you care about. We'll drop a link to some resources from the county in the show notes. And remember, the crisis hotline number is 988. And nothing like a furry friend to get you through a tough time. Tuesday is National Adopt-a-Shelter Pet Day. If you listen to the show, you know regional shelters have been hitting their capacity. Tomorrow, King County's Municipal Shelter in Kent is waiving all adoption fees. Could be fun. We'll pop a link in the show notes where you can see all the cats, dogs, rabbits, and guinea pigs available for adoption right now. That's it for now. Make sure to come back tonight for evening headlines. Grizzly bears have roamed this part of North America for about 20,000 years, but they've been gone from Washington for the last 100 years because we've hunted and trapped them. Now the bears are coming back through a program from the National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. 5 bears will be airlifted each year from the Rockies and British Columbia and released into North Cascades National Park. The goal is to eventually get enough bears here that they can live without human intervention. Not everyone is happy with the plan, including Washington's 4th Congressional District Congressman Dan Newhouse. His constituents live in the communities that border the national park.
Yeah, I've got nothing against grizzly bears at all. I think they have a rightful place in nature. You know, they're one of the, one of the most grand creatures you can imagine. They're truly a wonder. But my constituents in north central part of the state, largely by a huge majority, have been very vocal in voicing their opposition to the introduction of grizzly bears into the North Cascades.
He can't stop the bears, but Newhouse says it's incumbent on the National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to do everything they can to make this work for the people who live in the area.
Now that they've made the decision to move forward, you know, they own it. They've got to make, it's up to them to make sure this is a successful experiment. They know going in that there's a lot of people not happy about this. And I think they have a duty and a responsibility to prove to the residents of North Central Washington that they're right and that they can make this work. If not, then decisions will have to be made to change direction.
Sandy and Jim Fries stood up at a public meeting last fall in Okanagan County. They're worried about grizzlies getting into their orchard.
Don't you think the grizzlies are going to come to the orchards where there's apples and they're going to maul our workers? It's going to be very dangerous.
Somebody goes hunting bears, they oftentimes will use apples for bait to pull them in.
Oh,
so, yeah, they like apples.
These animals are extremely powerful, and they don't like to be surprised, especially if they're protecting a cub. But attacks are not common. Right now, the majority of grizzlies in the U.S. live around Yellowstone National Park. In more than 150 years, only 8 people have died from bear attacks there. The Sauk Sioux Yattle tribe has also voiced concerns the bears will impact its members' ability to access fishing and foraging grounds. Still, many other local tribes support the bears' reintroduction. That's because a relationship with grizzlies is part of the history and mythology of many indigenous peoples in North America. Chris Morgan is a local ecologist who's spent much of his career studying grizzly bears in North America and their relationship with the people around them.
It's ecological, it's social, it's biological, it's a mixture of all these things, which I think is why it fascinates me so much.
Chris lives in Bellingham, and he's the host of the KUOW podcast, The Wild. He's one of the local conservationists who've pushed for grizzlies to be brought back into the Cascades. One big reason is the bear's relationship to a healthy forest system.
They are part of that biodiversity, and they also help that biodiversity. And, you know, ecologically, they till the soil and they aerate soil, so they promote plant growth. If and when they eat fish, they don't do it in the interior so much here in the Cascades, but on the coast, where they're eating fish, they're transferring nitrogen and nutrients into the ground that literally help trees grow, healthier trees, healthier forests in grizzly bear country. They're also really important for spreading seeds. So bears can eat 100 or 150,000 berries in a day. So you can imagine how much poop that creates when it comes to a grizzly bear. And they're wandering the landscape, spreading those seeds that increase biodiversity and food items for many other species, from coyotes to songbirds.
Let's talk about some of the concerns that people have. There were real concerns from people in Washington about this plan, particularly in rural communities near the North Cascades National Park. Dozens of people voiced concerns at community meetings last year. They are worried about safety as well as grizzlies impacting farming and ranching operations in the area. What do you think about that?
I think some of those concerns are founded, you know, and I think we're at a point now where it's not about advocacy. It's not about, oh, we need these grizzly bears back. And it's not something that is personal to any one subset of people. It's now in the realm of this might and probably will be happening, a small number of bears coming back over a long period of time. So we all have to be ready with the facts and ready to learn and increase our knowledge and experience about grizzly bears and collaborate. And so I am concerned when I hear from people about their concerns to their livelihood, whether it's ranchers or people concerned about where they might be able to hike or safety in general. Those concerns are super valid. But when you really look at the facts about how dangerous grizzly bears are, it's a minimal threat. Even in places like Yellowstone National Park, where there are 3, 4, 5 million human visitors per year to that national park versus 30 or 40,000 to North Cascades National Park, grizzly bears in Yellowstone number around 1,000 in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem over there. We don't have any here yet, but we might have a handful of them, 3, 4, 5 over the next 2, 3, 4 years kind of thing. So it's something to really keep into perspective in terms of the danger level and the threat from grizzly bears. But it is there, and we're fooling ourselves if we don't think that grizzly bears can be dangerous. You know, they're wild animals that protect themselves and protect their young. You know, any mother or father can relate to that. They protect their food caches, you know, and they've got an important food cache. So there are certain circumstances where bears can be dangerous, and those are the stories, though, unfortunately, that people always hear. You don't hear about the countless positive interactions that people have in and around grizzly bear country for all over North America where they still exist. So it's important to keep things in perspective.
We talked a little bit about habitat, where we're putting these grizzlies. What about the fact that, you know, we're going to drop these bears into a new environment? There are no walls. They can go wherever they want. And I'm bringing this up because in Wyoming, they had to euthanize a grizzly bear recently because it started hanging around a ranch, which was typically out of its territory, right? Its usual territory. So the bears coming to the North Cascades don't necessarily have to stay there. So what happens when or if they leave their territory or come close to humans?
It can be tricky and takes adjustments from all sides. And sometimes bears will end up being euthanized and killed because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think that it's hard to say because I do love grizzly bears, but I think that is fine. We live in a place that's busy with humans, and we all have to find ways to adapt and make considerations for the other side, whether it's the human nature side or whatever sides we're talking about in terms of how we're all looking at these issues. So it does happen. It may happen here in the North Cascades. Those bears will be placed into an ecosystem that they're not very familiar with, but they'll be very familiar with the foods that are here and the type of terrain, and the type of habitat and the plants, because they'll be brought from very similar ecosystems elsewhere. So it won't be completely alien to them. But yes, they'll wander. They'll try to find their place. But the idea is to put them deep into the wilderness areas where they will hopefully stay. But there is a chance that they'll end up wandering to places where they'll encounter people. I think it's up to us, really, to be ready for that eventuality as humans welcoming these bears back to the landscape that they've called home for 20,000 years.
Right now in Washington, people can be fined if they kill a grizzly, even if it's unintentional. Will that change when the bears are reintroduced?
So the bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act as a threatened species in the lower 48, and they're endangered at the state level. But with this translocation of a small number of bears coming into the North Cascades, there's a thing called the 10J rule, which is sort of an add-on, sort of associated to the Endangered Species Act, that gives the agencies more flexibility to manage this population of bears. It's called an experimental bear population, and I think that's a great phrase. It makes it more possible for the agencies to manage them in very direct ways, should they look like they are a bear that's going to get into trouble or in trouble with livestock or acting aggressively in some way. So there's a big toolbox that agencies can turn to.
You know, as you mentioned earlier, grizzlies are dangerous, as any large wild animal can be. There will only be a few here in a lot of space, but there is still a chance that people will run into them, right? Hikers mm-hmm. and residents. How should we talk about staying safe in grizzly territory?
I mean, I hiked tracking grizzly bears in the mid-90s for 2,000 miles on foot, radio-collared grizzly bears, and then tracked them for 2,000 miles. And in those 2 years in the Rocky Mountains near Banff National Park in Canada, me and my research partner saw about 7 bears over 2 years in a place where there are hundreds of grizzly bears. They want to keep well out of your way. They're not looking for any kind of interaction with human beings. So just remembering that in the first place. But the thing is, when you're on a trail, it's just being super mindful. You look for bear sign. You look for claw marks on tree or hair from a bear that's been on a rub tree, left behind on a rub tree, or a pile of scat on the trail. You can tell what that bear has been eating from that pile of scat, or a day bed, flattened area, you know. So all the sign to look out for and keep a step ahead. One of the most dangerous things is a grizzly bear sitting on its food cache, meaning a dead animal that it's eating and it sits on and lies on and covers up over the course of a few days as it's eating. If you smell something like that, you keep well out of the area because you don't want to interfere with that bear and get it agitated. Bears don't like surprises. So always make noise when you're on a bear trail because they don't like to be surprised, and especially mothers with cubs, as we all know. One important thing is carry bear spray. It's really effective stuff. Every belt, every backpack should be carrying one in Washington State regardless. They are great for black bears. They're great for cougars. They're great for weirdos as well, you know. You never know who you might run into on the trail. So carry a bear spray for all of those eventualities, and it's just a good habit to get into, you know. So hiking in groups is a good thing. And then when you're camping, making sure that you're storing your food in a safe way. I think most of it just comes down to starting to think a bit like a bear, and putting into practice safety and awareness around you. And honestly, for any hike I've ever been on, it only makes the experience more magical and more connecting.
The North Cascades, Chris, are amazing, but you do have to be prepared when you're out there, not just for bears, for a lot of things.
That's right. We have a lot of people who are new to nature, right? New to exploring nature, new to being out in even the front country and let alone the back country. So, yeah, there's definitely knowledge that we all have to be equipped with, and we should be equipped with it for grizzly bears and black bears, regardless of what's just about to happen, you know, with these small number of bears being brought back in. So it's all good knowledge to have.
You know, they're going to drop these bears off deep into the wilderness, according to the plan. But like we talked about, they don't have to stay where they are necessarily. So what can people do who live around this area who might be concerned?
Yeah, it's a great question, because the hope is that they'll stay in deep in these wilderness areas. But there is a chance that they'll come down into places where humans are. So electric fencing is a very effective tool. Sounds funny, but you put electric fencing around orchards or bee apiaries, or for ranchers, you put them around boneyards or sheep bedding grounds or birthing areas where their cattle are. Real practical things. Electric fences, not incredibly expensive, but you don't lick or touch 5,000 volt wire with your nose very often to get a message. And it works really well with grizzly bears, you know. For ranchers and others, making sure that attractants like grain are not accessible. Because for a bear, it's about trying to gain their thousands of calories per day through the food that they eat. 70 to 90% of a grizzly bear's diet is vegetation, is plant matter. And so they've got to eat a lot of it in order to get through the day, in order to get through the summer, to be fat enough to get into the winter and sleep it through in hibernation, you know. So they're just food-eating machines. So we need to keep our food away from them. And that's what it's about, really. It's about reducing attractants, whether it's a bird feeder, grain on a ranch, or garbage. And it's all about those key things.
Chris, how will we know and when will we know if this effort is successful?
I mean, the whole process of bringing bears back to get to a population of an initial population of 25 bears might take 10 years. To get to a population that could be sustained in this space that is the North Cascades, that's bigger than the state of New Jersey, that may take 100 years to get to that population of 200 plus. So it's a long, slow process. Grizzly bears breed incredibly slowly. Half of their cubs die in the first year of life. And I've seen these threats to cubs firsthand, you know, where other bears sometimes kill them, or wolves kill them, or a river sweeps them away. There are all these threats that a young bear cub faces, which means that, you know, they don't replace themselves in the population very readily as a species, not like coyotes or even wolves, you know. So bears are very slow. So it's a very slow process. And I think people can rest in that knowledge, knowing that we can all learn and evolve with this process as it sort of unfolds.
All right. We'll check back with you. Chris Morgan, ecologist and host of the Wild Podcast from KUOW. Thanks so much for putting this in perspective for us.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
If you want to learn more about Chris's efforts to bring grizzly bears back to the Cascades, you can hear about it on a special episode of The Wild. Search for it in your favorite podcast player or check KUOW.org. Thanks for listening to Seattle Now. An extra thank you to the listeners who support this show. Today's episode was produced by Claire McGrain. She's digging her bear spray out for the next hike. It was edited by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez. Special thanks to reporter Courtney Flatt, who provided public comment audio for this episode. Our production team also includes Andy Hurst, Paige Browning, and Vaughn Jones. Greg Kramer does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR network. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you later.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.